In response to New York's ongoing fiscal crunch caused by the drop in tax collections due to the pandemic, Governor Cuomo has held back some of the state's spending authorized in the current year budget, including aid to local municipalities. Fully restoring this funding stream is one of the top priorities for local government leaders around the state in 2021, according to Peter Baines, executive director for the New York State Conference of Mayors, who joins us to discuss this issue and other items in the organization's legislative agenda. Welcome back to the show, Peter.
Thanks, David. Good to be back.
So in terms of the money that's been withheld, how much are we talking about in terms of the funding for villages and cities in New York? And what does that represent in terms of the size of state aid that they normally receive?
Well, it's hard to get a complete handle on how much has been withheld. The controller in some of his reports has identified the aggregate amount. But to know exactly how much has been withheld from each municipality, it's hard to determine. But what we were able to show is just in two main categories of municipal aid, one being AIM funding, which is general purpose aid for local government, and the other category being transportation funding. It's $250 million in quote-unquote withheld aid payments to cities, towns, and villages across the state. And, you know, $250 million, when you split that up among all the municipalities, people might think, well, it's really not that meaningful. But, you know, when you look at some of the bigger cities, City of Buffalo, it's over $33 million that's been withheld, which is represents 43% of their entire property tax levy. City of Syracuse, it's $15 million, which is 41% of their property tax levy. So they're meaningful numbers, even though I would argue that the $250 million in the context of $180 billion state budget is not that meaningful within the state's financial plan. And we think things have changed a lot since June when the withholding started. A lot has happened that has made it more affordable and more reasonable for the state to remit these withheld funds.
How has this money been withheld? Has it been in one lump sum back in June, or has it come sort of in an elongated period?
Well, it depends on the program. Like with AIM funding, which for cities is the biggest of all the state aid programs, for most cities it's one really large payment and then one or two more smaller payments. So it all depends on the timing of their fiscal year when they get their payments. So, but generally it's been spread out roughly on a quarterly basis. For example, with the transportation funding. So it's accumulated over time. I mean, most recently, the December AIM payments, 55 cities lost 20% of their December AIM payment. And for 44 of those cities, it was more than 95% of all their AIM money they were going to get in that one payment right at the end of their fiscal year. So, I mean, it's had an impact on these municipal budgets. And we think with all that we see that has happened and is on the horizon, you know, with the president-elect, who's a strong supporter of state and local funding from the federal government. Our New York Senator Schumer, is the majority leader, who's another huge advocate of state and local funding. We think, as the governor's acknowledged, we think the prospects for state and local funding are much improved. So the state will be in a better position to backfill the return of this $250 million to local governments. Also, the controller has shown that our tax receipts are almost $4 billion ahead of where we thought they would be. The states received over $10 billion in federal stimulus money. So, you know, the state's been able to stop withholding school aid, important distinction, and that's a lot more money that the state distributes to schools and the municipalities. So let's get this money out to the municipalities who are on the front lines of protecting public safety, helping people deal with COVID, and trying to get their economies going.
What has been the impact of this withholding from municipal governments? Are they making cuts to their enacted spending plans, or are they trying to just move cash around until they can't afford to anymore, with the hope that temporary withholdings really are temporary and they're going to get the money restored?
Before I answer that, I should just add that an important point is that municipalities going into the pandemic, municipalities in New York were in fairly strong fiscal shape. They had their fiscal houses in order. 71% of our cities say that their budget or their financial picture was either very strong or stable pre-COVID. But now we're at the point where 89% of the cities have worsened or significantly worsened their fiscal picture since COVID arrived. And virtually every one of them says their fiscal picture will get much worse if the 20% withholding isn't returned and the federal funding doesn't arrive. So I just wanted to make it clear that it's all COVID's doing, this financial pressure at both the state and local government level. What are our people doing to deal with it? A variety of things, using fund balance as a temporary fix, service cutbacks. A lot of them are dealing with their largest cost, which is their personnel. 30% of our cities have done layoffs or plan to do layoffs. 70% of them are not filling vacant positions. Capital projects have been deferred by a majority of them. So, you know, they're doing everything they can to avoid property tax increases because they know that's the worst thing to do when the economy is struggling like this. So, you know, the pain is accumulating at the local level in dealing not only with a drop in sales tax revenue, parking fees, court fees, but also this state revenue stream that's been had 20% of it skimmed off.
We're talking with Peter Baines, Executive Director of the New York Conference of Mayors, and we're walking through some of their legislative priorities for 2021. As you mentioned, the least painful way out of this budget crisis would be billions of dollars from Washington, D.C. But if that money doesn't materialize, or at least not in the amounts to cover our lost revenues for the current fiscal year and next, is there a state tax increase your organization would support to ensure you get your promised state aid and the increases in funding that you fight for every year in terms of general aid and transportation aid and other pools of revenue?
We historically and continue to, we advocate for the state to do certain things in terms of assisting local governments, not only providing funding, but providing mandate relief. The state has to determine the best revenue mix for them.
So are you agnostic about that?
We're agnostic. We have not taken a position on any of the revenue, potential revenue streams that have been raised. You know, for example, on the cannabis issue, adult use cannabis, we as an organization don't have a position on the legalization of it. But if it is legalized, we think local governments, as the government closest to the people and to where these sales are going to take place, we need to retain control over the dispensaries and the production facilities. And there also should be revenue that not only goes to the state, but some should go to local governments to help deal with, the repercussions of cannabis being legalized. On that one, we're not supporting it as a revenue stream or as a legalized practice, but we want to make sure if it is legalized that the local impacts are addressed.
In the governor's State of the State address, he talked about the need for accessible and affordable high-speed internet all over the state. His plan to accomplish this is based on mandating lower rates, which would mean he's still relying on existing private sector internet providers. By contrast, New York's mayors have visions of municipal broadband to ensure New Yorkers can get online. What would this world look like, and what would you need from the state to make municipal broadband happen?
Well, as part of our legislative program, we're calling for clear authorization, legal authorization for municipalities to establish a municipal broadband, either municipal-wide or potentially in a downtown district. That authority isn't there right now. And when we have mayors that want to make sure that not only is there broadband that comes to their community, but it needs to get to the entire community. And when you leave that up to the private sector, it doesn't always work out that way. So we think municipalities, there's the potential for municipalities to be able to have a not only accessible broadband, as the governor talked about, but also affordable broadband. So, it's at the preliminary stages of how that would exactly work. But the first step is to make it clear that local governments have the authority to establish that kind of infrastructure. We provide water, sewer, transportation infrastructure. the infrastructure of the 21st century is broadband. So we feel that local governments need to have the ability to engage in providing that essential infrastructure.
One of the deterrents for, say, private sector companies to try to compete with existing internet service providers is that question of infrastructure and having the money to bring it all online. Where would local governments get that money from? Is this something that they would bond out potentially, or get money from the state government or some other form of revenue?
Well, I imagine it would be done in a public-private partnership in that sort of way, where the municipality would certainly have to have some financial skin in the game, but more importantly, they would have control over how the broadband is delivered, that it gets to all neighborhoods of the municipality, not just the neighborhoods that seem to be most profitable to the private sector. Those are the things that need to be fleshed out, exactly how that would work. But, I think it would have to be a combination of both public and private sector resources to make it happen.
Who, besides the existing internet service providers in New York State, are going to be against authorizing municipalities to launch their own broadband infrastructure?
I don't know. Hopefully, if it's all about getting broadband out there, and that's what the telecommunications company's goal is, that they'll be willing partners in advancing our proposal.
Are there any emergency steps taken by the governor to help local governments respond to the arrival of the novel coronavirus, which you would like to see left in place after the pandemic?
I'd say one area that has proven, it came about because of the pandemic and the emergency, but I think it's proven to be workable and also very transparent, is the ability for local governments to have remote meetings and to use Zoom and other technologies in order to have their meetings and actually make them more accessible to their constituents than coming down to the village hall in a snowstorm. One hiccup with that, the whole system right now, though, with the remote meetings, is there's a requirement that local governments have to provide an exact transcript of every meeting when they do it remotely, as opposed to when they have an in-person meeting, they have to provide minutes, but those are summaries of what transpires and actions taken. We'd like to see if the law is made, or the emergency order is turned into statutory authorization for these remote meetings. We'd like to make sure that it's clear that there's not a need for exact transcription of the meetings. And certainly the municipality would be willing to put the entire recorded meeting on their website, for those that have websites, which are virtually every municipality. So we think there's potential there for more efficiency at the local level, but at the same time, enhanced transparency with the public.
Well, we've been speaking with Peter Baines, the executive director for the New York State Conference of Mayors. Peter, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you, David.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.